Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this evening, we're joined by Hannah Pillow, who is joining us from Manchester, England, but originally from South Africa. And she runs a podcast called Refreshingly Human. And we're going to have a little chat about the podcast and about Hannah and her business and what she's doing in her life and all those sort of fantastic things. So how are you doing today, Hannah? Are you okay?
Hi, Mark. Yeah, I'm doing okay. Thanks. How are you?
Yes, I'm very well. Thank you. I'm awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I've been having a little bit of lockdown fatigue last week, but I'm feeling a lot better this week, actually.
Oh, good, good. Well, I've actually had the best time of my life, I think, since the start of lockdown, because I'm somebody who likes helping people. I'm also someone who likes stepping up and raising themselves up. And I believe when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And,
for sure. Yeah, so, for sure. I mean, I've been super active this whole period. But I guess I just really miss having people around me, like in real time. I really miss that.
Yeah, well, I am a social animal as well, but I've just pivoted all my socializing online. And I'm lucky I still get to see people in the real world as well, because I'm a carer for my dad and his girlfriend. So I have to go and see them. I have to go shopping and that sort of thing. So, you know, I still have a bit of going out and you know, getting about, that sort of thing, which is all I need. I do so much networking on Zoom. And then I get so many people on my podcast, which is amazing to, you know, reach out to fantastic people like yourself around the world. Obviously, you're just in Manchester today, but I get people from all over the place. It's unusual for me to get guests from the UK. also, I've joined Clubhouse recently as well, but I've always on all social media platforms. But Clubhouse, have you heard about that?
I have heard about Clubhouse. Yes, I haven't checked it out yet. How are you finding it?
Oh, it's amazing. It's like 10 times better than LinkedIn, which was my best social media platform out of all of them.
Okay. I'll definitely check it out. Why do you think it's so awesome?
Because basically it's a voice-to-voice communication without an image, which basically means all you put is a picture. So everyone's just got a static picture with nothing else. So it's not about their clothes or their bling or their cars or anything like that, just a face, like, you know. And then what can take you like 5, 10, 20 communications to build some rapport and connectivity on LinkedIn and other social media, you could do in one conversation. So basically, it's an accelerant. But yeah, so if you're, you know, mission, if you've got your missions, vision, and value clear, and you're authentic, and you, there's people in there with rooms of like-minded people everywhere. So it's basically like shooting fish in a barrel. Like if you want to connect with people on whatever level, you just jump into the barrel and there's all sorts of barrels and there's all sorts of fish. And they're surrendering, if you like. They're going, pick me, pick me, pick me. It's that easy, like, you know. So as somebody who's been in sales and marketing for 32 years, since I started my life as an entrepreneur at 11, wheeling and dealing and all that sort of thing, it's just... For me, it's like nirvana, you know what I mean? It's like heaven. It's like, you know, if I could create something to help me connect with people around the world, I would create that. And somebody did create it, you know?
Amazing. I mean, you sold me. I'm definitely going to check it out. I think it's so much easier to connect with people when we just talk to them, you know? Like, I think over chat, there's too many barriers and also too many formalities as well.
Yeah, well, for me... I started my podcast March last year, and I was blogging for 15 years, and I couldn't believe I didn't find podcasting earlier, because I am all over every aspect of sales and marketing. Like, yeah. And if I just started my podcast when podcasting took off, I'd have like one of the top podcasts right now. So I'm playing catch up, like, you know, which is why I'm doing so many concerts. I'm trying to create a record so I can leverage that record to get more listeners and notoriety, sponsorship, spotlight on all of my visitors, all that sort of thing, like, you know. So I'm a strategist at the end of the day, but I'm playing catch-up now. But for 15 years I was blogging, and I much prefer to type to talk than type. Yeah, and you can connect with people at a much better level. So I just don't know why I didn't do it before. And then also as well, I used to do telesales, and then I moved into field sales and solution sales and all of that. So I've been speaking for a living for, you know, since I was 15 in employment, you know, 11 since my hustling days as a kid. So like for me, it was just a no-brainer. As soon as I discovered podcasting, I was like, oh, I'm going to stop pipe in and start talking, like, you know. and then obviously Clubhouse now is like an elevator booster on that with all the influencers from around the world, because they're all on it, like, you know. So that's a little bit about my journey anyway. Tell us a little bit about your podcasting journey and what your podcast is about, etc.
Yeah, I mean, I love your enthusiasm, Mike. I feel like you have this positive energy that we all should have throughout our lives. It's so cool. My podcast actually started about 1.5 years ago. And I, just like you, I love talking. When I went to preschool, I was like, I have an older brother and he's really quiet. And when I went to preschool, teachers were like, are you sure these two are siblings? Because she talks so much and he's like, doesn't say a word. So I think, yeah, talking is one of the things I do best. But the podcast more started because I also have a want to help people just like you. And I think that a lot of passion projects start that way, right? Because we want to help people and we have the passion for it. And we want to create things that are valuable. So when I moved to the UK, I was kind of experiencing a lot of microaggression because I'm a brown person. And there was a lot of microaggression happening. And I actually didn't even know what it was, because I didn't even know what microaggression was when I started, when I came here. I had no idea what the term meant. But I soon learned what it was, because it was like annoying me, you know. I saw a YouTube video recently that described it as a mosquito bite, where one is tolerable, but when you have many, it's highly, highly annoying. And I got to that point where I was like just totally annoyed about it. And the people who were causing the microaggressions are very close in my life, so I couldn't like just cut them off. I had to have them around. So I started looking online for resources to help communicate, just that, like finding that line of humanity that, yeah, we all have cultural differences, but we also have personality differences, and we don't harp on that when we're communicating with people. We try to just find that line of humanity and find what we have in common. And then we start to learn each other's differences, and that's how it should be working. So what's the intent that my podcast started with is just to have conversations with people from all over the world, from all ethnicities, and show that we can have a normal conversation with anyone without having to have these microaggressions take place. And if we want to ask questions, there's a way we can do it, for sure.
Yeah. Brilliant. And
that kind of inspired my journey. But there was a bit of a break in my journey. If you look at my podcast, I started podcasting very passively. And I did it like one episode a month, which, you know, Mike, is nothing really.
And, it's a start. It's lot more than some people.
Yeah, it's something. But I don't have as much experience as you do, Mike, like when it comes to business and entrepreneurship and building a brand. And I got really overwhelmed really quickly. So I actually stopped doing everything for about 8 months. And then I restarted back in October, and I restarted with a fire. And I just have this passion now for like learning and growing. And I have so much of faith in myself, in my brand. I just came back so much stronger. So yeah, that's my journey, and that's where I am today.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And just before we started recording the podcast, I extended some help to you to join my mastermind, which I do on a Sunday at 2 p.m. UK time, which is for strong communicators, for people who are involved in the communication sector. And there's loads of podcasters in there as well. And the reason I extended that advice is because I think you're a bit younger than me, and I'm always willing to help and bring other people up. So it's hard to tell, because, you know, I still look about 20 and still feel about 20. But you definitely got a few years younger than me. So but basically, there's a lot of good podcasters in there and other people who can help you with your business. And like you, I like to serve others. I like to help others. And so, you know, for me, it's always about learning off the people above you and bringing the people below you down, not below you in a layered level of where they are, if you like, but just in a level of knowledge or experience. So bringing people below you up and, you know, being pulled up by the people above you in experience terms. So from that point of view, you know, that's why I create my mastermind, is to learn off others, pull others through and teach others. And all of that is a bit of a as a clash on planning, if you like, is bringing all different ages in and different ethnicities, and it's a global community, and you know, it's got some awesome people on it, not just myself, but other people, including like there's a girl from New York, Lena Levinsky, who does she interviews immigrants, people who've moved into other countries and done well. She does a lot with America, but she also to people around the world, so I think that would be a great place for you to share your story as well. And yeah, she teaches people how to adapt their language to fit in with the language of the country they moved into, etc., so they can better explain themselves and better go for bigger jobs and that, because a lot of people feel they can't go for the big jobs and the big opportunities because maybe they don't speak the language or they haven't got the confidence in that. She works with people like that, so he would be an amazing contact for you, and you and her would get on really, really well. And then I've got a friend of mine who's called Amy Sinner, who does voice. She's a voiceover artist, and she's British, Welsh, Indian. So I think you'd probably get on with her as well because she's awesome and a lot of energy and that sort of thing as well. And then I've got coaches in the system. It's just people from all nationalities and walk of life. And so it's a really, really great community, and I'd love to get you on and see how we can help you and connect with all the people and all of that. So well done for that, and well done for coming back stronger as well, because you know, life's not about how hard you can hit; it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And you got hit by something, some objection, something got in your path, got in your way, imposter syndrome, feeling you weren't good enough. It could have been, you didn't feel you had the skills to pull it off, so you had to go away and work on your mindset. Whatever it was that caused that break, you come over it, you overcome it, and that's the secret to life, really. As long as you find your way over it and come back stronger, it doesn't really matter what gets in your way, because you'll always be able to overcome it. So well done for that.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely all about evolving for sure. I hate, I hate the word hate, but I dislike not coming back from things and not being able to work through things. And it's so much of everything that you just said, you know, there was something specific that happened, you know, someone told me something, they misunderstood something I said on the podcast, and it caused me panic. And it made me feel start doubting myself. And I just went into a mind loop. And I had to step back for a little while and just get my mental mindset right and really get that confidence in myself. And one of the things I did in that time away is I joined a public speaking group, Toastmasters. I don't know if you've heard of Toastmasters.
Yeah, we got a Toastmaster representative from Ireland in our group as well. So
amazing.
She's a sleep specialist as well, which is good as well.
Nice. I like that. So I joined Toastmasters, and that really built my confidence so much more than I thought it would. You know, it's just the group of people there are so amazing. And they really made me believe that people wanted to listen to me. And it really helped for me to come back.
Brilliant. And hopefully one of the lessons you learned in that phase of your life as well was that it doesn't really matter what other people think. I don't know if you've actually got to that yet or not. What other people think and what other people say has nothing to do with you. And it has no consequence or effect on you. So, you know, hopefully that's one of the lessons you learned as well. And
That's a lesson from life, I think, you know. Honestly, it's an ongoing lesson. We got to remind ourselves every day that what people think of us is more a projection of what they think of themselves than anything else. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's that steel within us that keeps us going. You know, we got to be, I believe that we got to believe in ourselves, but also we got to have that part accountability that if we did do something wrong, we got to have that accountability, but we got to have that self-love to go on as well and be like, okay, I messed up. I did something wrong. I can work on this next time. Yeah. There's always a next time.
I don't care about any errors or mistakes I make on my podcast. If I do, I don't know if I do or I don't. I don't really analyze it or think about it or care, to be honest.
I meant in life in general, though. Yeah, I wasn't really talking about the podcast.
Again, in life, though, really, I don't care what mistakes I make in life because you only make mistakes by trying new things a lot of the time. If you're really good at something, you can do it and do it and do it. You won't make no mistakes. But generally, if you're making mistakes and stuff, you're trying new stuff. And so the only way you learn is by making mistakes and developing and growing. You know, when we learned how to talk, we used to talk a lot of gibberish, and then we learned how to talk. Before we learned how to walk, we used to fall over all the time and roll around and stuff. And then we learned how to walk. You know, it's part of the process. So making mistakes is just natural.
Definitely, definitely a part of learning for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I care about the sort of impact I'm having or the information I'm giving or something like that, the stuff I do care about, you know, focus on what it is you're trying to do rather than what it is you don't feel you're doing or capable of or all of those things, you know, because you can always make a difference, even if you just make a difference to one person's life, and one person could go on and be the president.
I mean, I guess it definitely depends what your intention is. You know, if someone wants to make a difference to one person or if they want to make a difference to 1,000, it depends what our intention is. And I think if you want to make a difference to 1,000, you can.
Yeah, well, I think if you know, as long as you go out there to make a difference to one person, if you're really making a difference, then you'll end up making a difference to however many people need you to make a difference to their lives. So whatever that number is, so many people go chasing numbers. I want to be one of the top speakers on the planet just because I want to speak to as many people as possible because I like helping people. So why not help millions? But you know what I mean? But,
for sure,
you know, if I don't get to that position and I don't get to help millions, what does it matter as long as I help someone along the way?
For sure, for sure. I mean, I definitely think you're right about that. Chasing the numbers definitely causes a lot more stress than anything else. The more you start concentrating on your message and what you getting out there, the less stress it is to be like, oh, how many downloads did I get? How many views did I get? How many follows did I get? That's just unnecessary stress, really.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, it's a bit like when you think you're overweight or something, you keep looking at the weighing scales, like as if it's going to make you lose some pounds or whatever. No, that's not going to make you lose some pounds. Look at the scales. Our will is taking action every day in the direction of, you know, losing weight to actually implement the plan of losing weight in order to make a difference and make a change. So, you know, looking at the scales or being on them, stepping off them, you know, balancing on them with one foot.
I think balancing on one foot would make the scale heavier.
Can do, maybe. But whatever the tricks are that people play with themselves to try and get the number down, have I lost the pound or not, or whatever. Just focus on the process. The results will take care of themselves.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's a message I keep repeating to myself is like, let the universe do its work. You put it out there, let the universe do its work.
Yeah.
And like, just go to sleep with that message in my head. So I'm not like always thinking about like, oh, am I getting what I want right now, number wise? Like, no, put it out there. Let the universe take care of it.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. And obviously, before we went on air, we talked about the fact that you've got a podcast. Your podcast is aimed at obviously mindset and mental health and that sort of thing. At the moment, you're going through goal settings. And obviously, I've got a happiness formula and a success formula, which we covered the happiness formula, which has got goals in it under the name of targets because it's called SMART. And so it had to be a T. And also, I've got a happiness formula, which is, you know, all about helping people overcome mental health issues. But we've decided we're going to do a live, which is fantastic. Can't wait to do that into your group. So I'm going to share that with them as well. But for yourself, I'm going to share with you my success formula, because that's all about setting goals as well. It's about setting goals in 7 key areas of life and key areas of business. If you want to be successful, I'm going to share that to you now as a gift from me to you. It's my happiness formula I give away to everyone for free. But my success formula is what I'm going to monetize in order to build up a trust fund so I can help startup businesses and young entrepreneurs and whatever to get going in life. I want to invest in them and give them seed money, give them mentorship, advice, and all of that, and help them on their journey. So that's my big mission in life, which is why I like helping people, and which is why I got a free mastermind on a paid-for, asked-for one, and it's why I'm going to give you my success formula for free. I give everyone anyway the actual formula, but I'm going to give you some strategies, and whoever watches this video, on how to set goals to achieve those things as well, yeah? So my success formula stands for streams, and streams stands for systems, technology, relationships, efficiency, action, marketing, and sales. And basically, there's seven areas of your life that if you keep investing in education, in learning, in developing, in growing, in monetary investment, if you're making the money, and in focus and all of that, if you focus on all of those seven areas, I can guarantee you that at some point in your life, you will become successful as long as you have patience and as long as you don't give up. So you already got the attitude of not giving up. Yeah. As long as you can get patience and you can keep building those seven areas, I can guarantee you, you'll become successful.
I believe it. I definitely believe it. And I definitely agree with learning and growing and development. So important. It's kind of been my whole theme for last year. And of course, I think it's an ongoing theme because you got to keep learning all the time. If you don't know how to do something, learn how to do it. Yeah,
exactly. So if, for example, if you set a goal in each one of those key areas, a big goal that seems so big that you can't achieve it right now, okay, if you set that those goals and then you set medium goals, which are stepping stones to get to the big goal, yeah, and then if you set daily routines, daily goals, little things that you have to do every day in each one of those seven areas, yeah, something every day you do in each area, help you reach those medium goals. Basically, all you've got to do is concentrate on those little steps every day in those different areas. Eventually, you'll get to the medium goals. And when you reach the medium goals, the big goal that looks so far away and impossible to complete will look in sight and will be in
sight. Yeah.
And what you'll probably do is reassess your goals, add another one. Yeah. And that is how life works. That is what happens through life.
I love it. Yeah, definitely. Definitely love that. And yeah, I mean, I think there are goals that when I originally started this podcast back then, when I was, you know, like all frazzled and not knowing what I was doing, there were goals back then that seemed impossible. And now, like you said, that I've achieved those things, I can see bigger things in sight. And yeah, it's definitely that stepping stone process.
Yeah. So for example, with sales and marketing, which is the key part of success in the world, you can have levels of success in whatever you want to achieve, a balanced life and all of that. If you want to be seen as successful in the world, then you need to sell and market yourself. They're the key ingredients. Yeah. So for example, if you create a system for your sales and your marketing and your recording and all of that, if you have daily or weekly or whatever routines, then they become second nature. So you go into autopilot when you get them done. So they're hard to start with, but they become second nature. And so then you get massive efficiency out of it then, because you're doing the same thing over and over again. Yeah. So your systems and your efficiency and your technology, because you often need to use technology as part of your systemizing in order to get the efficiency, because that's why technology exists, is to save manual labor. Yeah. So if you use your systems, your technology, and your efficiency, all you've got to do then is look at your relationships, your action, your marketing, and your sales. Your systems and your technology and your efficiency is allowing you to create massive action because you're doing things much more quicker and much easier because the software is doing it for you. So then you just got to basically do lots of marketing and sales in your slick, efficient, mass market action, yeah? And keep building your relationships, and eventually you will be successful in life. You cannot be not successful after doing all of those things.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. Thanks for sharing that, Mike. I think that a lot of that is pretty much how I run my life so far, but definitely agree with it as well. I think before we started recording, I told you I love routine right now. I think there's no way I'd be able to do so much of what I'm doing if I didn't have a routine. And like you said, you become so autopilot in doing these things. And by the end of the year, you're like, oh, I've done all these things. And I actually had a friend say to me today, how are you doing all these things? Like, he's like, you know, he said, I made him look bad because he has three jobs and I'm doing like so many things. And he's like, you finished that already? How, when? And I was like, I honestly can't say exactly how or when, because it just becomes part of my process. I do this then, I do that then, and I know exactly when I'm doing what. And by the end of the year, it's all done.
Yeah, exactly. You know, last year, I created a podcast, did 850 odd episodes, wrote 7 poems in 7 days, created a happiness formula, a success formula. I got really super fit by exercising twice a day, every day for like 6-7 months. I probably read or listened to about 18 to 20 audiobooks. What else? I was doing 10 networking events a week. I listened to 20, 30, 40, 50, 10 hour to 2 hour personal development talks off people like Les Brown and Brian Tracy and Dr. John DeMartini and all of that sort of thing. So basically, I put myself into a routine as soon as lockdown came because I thought, if ever there's a time to get fit, it's now. There's a killer virus out there, and your immune system needs to be good. If ever there's a time to get a well-balanced diet, it's now, because there's a killer virus out there, and you've got to keep your immune system good, If ever there's a time to learn and develop and grow as well, stuck in commuter traffic and traveling around everywhere and all of that, So no excuses, basically. So I used it as no excuses, implemented my own structure, and then halfway through the lockdown, or probably around June or something, finished in August, I took a 75-day challenge, which is called #75Hard. And basically, it's a mental toughness challenge, and it consists of 2 exercises a day, 45 minutes indoors, 45 minutes outdoors, or at least one's got to be outdoors, reading 10 pages from an educational book every day, drinking a gallon of water every day, no alcohol for 75 days, being on a diet, and I think that was it, So basically most of those things, some people can't do just one of those things on their own, I wouldn't do it if it was one of those things on their own because it'd be too easy for me. But what I liked is the fact that it was a challenge because it was the 5 things at once, And for I love a challenge, so it was pushing me, it was helping me to grow, So I want to grow, I don't want to, do what I already know I can do anyway, there's no point in that. And I probably wouldn't have done that challenge had we been in the real world without lockdown and that, because I like to drink socially with people. So I never really thought of not drinking, but because I was in lockdown, giving up drinking 75 days was no problem. I quite like a drink. I like a drink socializing, and I don't apologize for it. It's part of who I am, it's part of what I do, etc. But I was like, I could give up drink for 75 days. Because we're in lockdown, I'm not socializing. I'm only having a can or two on a Friday or a Saturday night anyway. Because I was already exercising whatever for like 3-4 months or whatever before taking the 75-day challenge, it wasn't hard for me. Had I just jumped straight into that, it would have been hard. I'd already worked my way up with my own routine. In fact, I was doing an hour and a half a day, and this was only 45 minutes, an hour and a half a day. So I was doing an hour and a half minimum a day, but I was probably doing more on some days. So if you like, taking the actual physical part of it, which a lot of people would think was hard, was easy for me because it was a bit less than what I'd already applied myself. It was more a time management challenge for me because it was just trying to get everything done. I was working as well and producing business content and podcasting every day and YouTube videos and all. So I had other challenges on top of the 75 hard, which I had to do as well. But that's what makes you happy is, achieving success, progression, growing, gratitude, giving, all of these things, they all are what make you happy, which is why a lot of them are in my happiness formula, all of them. The happier you are, the more productive you are as well. So I'm on a mission to go teaching my happiness formula to corporates instead of the normal boring sales stuff and that, and customer service stuff and that, because a lot of these guys pay for this sort of information to... they pay for this information, like sales training and customer service training, to get more results. But actually, they just invest in the happiness of their staff. They get more results.
I think that's really valuable. Definitely a well-needed space for a happiness formula. The corporate world needs that.
And I used to be a corporate sales director, so what better person than me to deliver it? That was my job as a sales director, to make my team happy, to look after them, to make them successful, to look after their problems, to get them to be fit, to get them to think about investing in property or assets so they just weren't spending their money, wasting it down the pub, and all of these things. This is what I did. So what better person to deliver that?
For sure. I think, I think, Mike, we young people, we need your energy. We need your positivity. We need to see. I think you're really inspirational to see how encouraging and how much you believe in yourself and how you know, like enthusiastic you are. I love it. I could feed off that energy.
Yeah, well, I do a morning motivation on my podcast. I haven't done it for about 10, 15 days because I've been on Clubhouse, and also because I've got a bit of a technical issue at the moment. So I miss doing that, but I'm doing it on Clubhouse constantly on stages and stuff, speaking to people. But I used to do that as a sales team, like, you know, so I used to have to motivate the team every day and that sort of thing. So it comes natural to me, or it's just learned behavior over time, if you like, you know. But, but yeah, you know, I think it's important to inspire and educate and to help and to make people the right path and make them happy and all those sort of things. Happiness is a choice a lot of the time anyway. You can use my formula to help you be happy, but you can actually also just make a mental choice to be happy as well. So, you know, either works, just depends. But sometimes people need the boost of the actions in the formula to get them to the stage where they can make the mental choice.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think a lot of it is mental mind work that gets us there along the way, you know. It is a choice, but it's also, for some people, it's a working choice. You know, it's a choice to have to work towards, for sure. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. So, so tell us a little bit about your plans. I think you said when we were arranging this appointment, you do some work as well as the podcast.
Oh, I have a day job. Yeah. I don't podcast full time right now, but my plan is in the next 2 years to take my own business full time. So that's what I'm working towards. So I do have quite busy days because I have a 9-to-5 job, plus the podcast that I'm working on and plus the side hustle that I'm working on to expand my business. At the moment, I'm working on a course, on a culture and diversity course that teaches you how to communicate with people outside of your culture. So the target market for this is more for people who are afraid of talking to people who are different from them, because maybe they're afraid of saying the wrong thing. They're afraid of, they don't understand these microaggressions. They don't know when they're doing it. So it's just a course to walk them through how to communicate with people. And I also have a little formula that I'm creating in this course as well. And that's one of my plans for 2021. I've also have a novel in the works about my life that's planning to be published in 2022. So those are a few things I'm working on in my own business as well.
Brilliant, brilliant. And you obviously yourself will inspire lots of people as well who listen, who come across this video, because, you know, you're young, you're obviously committed, you're obviously multitasking, you know, you're side hustling. There's a lot of inspiration there, which a lot of people don't realize how inspirational they can be. And that's why you've got to own your own, awesomeness, if you like, own your own inner awesomeness, because ultimately, like, there are always people following behind. There's always the next generations to pull through. And so, you know, somebody like yourself, for example, you're a lady of mixed race or color or whatever people call. We're all mixed race, really. Everybody's
just a woman of color.
So a woman of color. And you'll inspire other women of color to do what you've done, because you're a trailblazer to them in some way. And I won't inspire them like you can. So, you know, you might think that, okay, I can inspire or something because, you know, maybe I'm a little bit more experienced than you. So I've got some gold nuggets for you to give, but you are just as equally inspirational to other people who want to achieve and do some of the things that you're doing. I know people who are frightened to speak on a stage or in an arena. I know people who don't know how to get gold with starting a podcast. I'm on Clubhouse teaching people how to do these things all of the time. And there are people who are senior business people who are frightened of getting going, or they're frightened of their branding, but you don't understand the technology. So you are already doing stuff that other people can't do, and people will look up to you and appreciate that with you. So you keep representing, yourself, womanhood, you know, the BAME community, you know, whatever, you know, South Africans, you know, Manchester, all of these.
South African.
All these places are places which you could appeal to, and, you know, you're unique, you're different. And I'm on a mission, actually. I don't know if it's something you'd want to join. I highly encourage it. I'm on a mission to try and get more diversity in the public speaking world, because I don't think there's enough of it. There's not enough women. There's not enough Europeans, right? So actually, I'm a minority as well in the public speaking world. because nearly always in the public speaking world, they're all American because of the size of America and all of that. So I'm on a mission to get myself on a stage, yeah, where the Americans are dominating, to get a bit of a more culturistic flavor, because I think us Brits are a little bit more culturally sophisticated than Americans are. And then I want to bring people through. I want to bring women through. I want to bring all different races and nationalities and ages through, because I think everybody has a story. Everyone has an ability to inspire. People, just like them, they're doing with dolls now, and now they're making dolls of all nationalities and all, you know, disabled dolls, and because kids need, you know, to aspire towards, you know, or they need to feel comfortable with toys and imagery and all these sort of things. So you know, I speak to people about this a lot, and I try and encourage people to stand up for a diversity and inclusion. And, you know, make it happen, you know, keep finding your voice, keep getting on stages. And if I can get there and pull people through, great. If other people get there and pull people through, great. You know, we all collaborate together. And,
for sure.
You know, we can, you know, we can inspire the whole world then, rather than just pockets of it. You know?
For sure. I definitely believe, you know, like, in this workplace, in this, you know, in the community of communications and public speaking, there are no competitors. We should be a network. We should be a family. We shouldn't be competitors against each other. We need to help each other and bring each other up. And I've seen that so far. I've experienced that so far. And I hope more people would be like you, Mike, you know, of wanting to reach out to people who might need more help. You know, who are just starting off, seeing that potential and helping people rise up. We need to be that collective for each other. Yeah. Well, you know, if we truly inspire change, it starts with us.
Definitely. You know, who's going to make it happen if it's not us? You know, it's down to us to make it happen. And on Clubhouse, I'm a moderator, which is like a speaker on the stage, on a room called Podcasting Morning Chat. And we literally just take calls off wannabe podcasters or podcasters looking to grow and all that sort of thing. And we've got a Facebook group now where we put all of the information in. So if you join the podcasters Podcasting Morning Chat Facebook group, you'll find lots of other people like me who've been around the block for a while, giving value and information to people who ask for it.
Awesome. I will definitely join. I love finding good Facebook groups, and I'm definitely going to check out Clubhouse now. You've sold me on that. I was a bit dubious because I was like, you know, there's so many platforms and get involved in another one, but you've definitely sold me on going to check that one out.
Yeah, brilliant. And my name's at Mike Armstrong on Clubhouse for all the listeners. And I guess yours will be at Hannah Pillow. I guess that's quite an unusual name. So hopefully you'll be able to get it. If not, you might be at Hannah Pillow 1 or something, or Hannah Pillow UK or SA or whatever you decide to do. But hopefully you'll get it. It's still in beta stage at the moment. So it's the time to claim your name and claim your stage. You can call stages after anything. So you can call it after your podcast. You can call it after, you know, your mission. You can call it after mental health. You can call it after whatever. I just do some consistent ones and some random ones. Like this morning, I had one called Good Morning Vietnam, which is like a film, which is a film from a long time ago with Robin Williams.
I know it.
Yeah, you know it, yeah. Which is what rushed into my brain when I woke up this morning, because I'm so enthusiastic to get on the Clubhouse around. I wake up with Good Morning Vietnam ringing in my brain. So I put Good Morning Vietnam. Then I put USA, UK, South Africa, Australia in the brackets. Yeah, so basically I was saying good morning to the world. And people recognized straight away what, because I put a good with it. Oh, people knew straight away what I meant, because I asked them when I come to the room. And I've done Clubhouse is addictive. I'm addicted to Clubhouse, but I don't care, because everyone's addicted to Clubhouse, like, because it is addictive. So because most of the people on there are heart-centered people who want to help others, or entrepreneurs who want to learn from others, and that can be addictive because, like, such a good platform.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people say social media is bad. Well, they want to get on this platform and then they can see the good side of social media, like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, there's good and bad to everything. It's just how we use it, right? I mean, social media can be bad, but I guess like for us in our line of work, it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's a miracle, you know. Before you had to spend thousands of pounds on TV or radio or stuff like that. Now all you got to do is put a bit of graft in.
Yeah, just show up, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And you can build communities everywhere. You can build communities all over the web.
For sure, for sure. Well, I don't know about you, Mike, but I've not had my dinner yet, and I'm getting a bit hungry right now.
I had mine just before our chat, actually, so I'm okay. But I understand the need to eat, so because I'm high energy, so you got to keep yourself refueled. So it's been great having you on my podcast, and it's been fantastic finding out about you and your podcast and what you're doing. And keep doing it, because like I said, there's lots of people who are going to be inspired by that, including myself. In fact, I'm inspired by it too, because I love to see people who are making a difference and making it happen and rolling up their sleeves and getting on with it and tackling problems and still coming back with them and all of the things that you're doing. So just keep doing it.
For sure. Thanks. Thanks for having me, Mike. And yeah, I'll just mention the podcast one more time, the Refreshingly Human podcast. You can check it out absolutely everywhere. We are now, I'm slowly starting a YouTube channel, so that's rolling out slowly. I've also got a blog post so that if anyone prefers to read it, they can read the blog post instead. And that's also been rolled out slowly as well. But yeah, connect with me on Instagram. I'm quite active there. And as Mike's convinced me to join Clubhouse, I should be there soon as well.
Well, my Insta, I wasn't active on Insta at all. And I've got about six different accounts. And the one I've connected to my Clubhouse is Mike_speaker. Or Mike Armstrong Speaker, I think. Or Mike Armstrong _speaker. No, it's actually all one word, Mike Armstrong Speaker. My Twitter is Mike_speaker. But anyway, I had 150 Instagram connections when I started Clubhouse, and now on 950 in 10 days.
Wow, amazing. Amazing.
So that's the impact that Clubhouse is having on my social media. And,
okay. I'm going to check that out for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And what's your YouTube channel? Mine's Mike Armstrong YouTube channel. Yeah. If you click on that and subscribe, I'll subscribe on yours. And what I also do as well is mine's a bit of an entrepreneurial hub. So I create playlists and I share other people's content in my playlists.
Okay.
I'm all about helping people, and tag me in any social media. And I will share your stuff, you know, episode launch. I got, you can join my Strong Communicators Facebook group, which is for the mastermind. And there's loads of podcasts in there. We all share content in there. I've also got a global podcasters group as well on Facebook. So Facebook is a great place to share content to for me, because I've got 100 Facebook pages, 50 Facebook groups. I'm just busy on that platform. But I'm busy on all platforms, really. But not so much at the moment. LinkedIn I do every day, first thing in the morning. And then I'm on Clubhouse and Zooms all day at the moment. But before, I used to be on LinkedIn all day, and then a bit of Instagram, a bit of Twitter, a bit of Facebook. Clubhouse all the time, like, you know. But I'll find a little routine when Clubhouse maybe settles a bit, like, you know. But at the moment, it's new. It's fantastic. So it's just about using it. But you go and have something to eat and get yourself refueled.
For sure. My YouTube channel is Refreshingly Human. I'll look for you, and I'll definitely subscribe.
And are you Refreshingly Human pretty much across the board?
Pretty much. Just my website is hannahpillow.com, but everything else is Refreshingly Human.
I'm just going to leave you with one last tip, okay? I created I created later than I wish I had the hashtag Mike Armstrong. So actually, if you Google search hashtag Mike Armstrong, I'm all over the internet now, okay? And that's just in a year's worth of content. But I've been doing digital marketing for 20 years. I wish I did that 20 years ago, or when hashtag first came in, okay? So what I'm giving you is the gift of experience and knowledge passed down, yeah? And I'm saying to you, create the hashtag refreshingly human, yeah? Create the hashtag Hannah Pillow and start putting it on all of your content.
I will do. Thank you, Mike. Definitely will do that.
Yeah. And then in the future, when people ask you, how do I get in touch? You just say hashtag Hannah Pillow, hashtag refreshingly human, and all your content will be there, because it'll be years and years of content built up over time.
Love it. Yeah. Convenience. Definitely will keep doing that.
Awesome. Nothing else really left for me to say other than have a great day. I know I will. And thanks very much for listening. Cheers, Hannah.
Bye-bye. Thanks, bye.